As I intimated just a little bit earlier on, in many ways, Paul was a reluctant sailor on this ship. Of course, he did look for the Lord's hand in every circumstance in his life, and that's good for us as well. We mentioned Joseph this morning in all of his various experiences, and how in all of that he knew the Lord's presence, and so did Paul. And here he was among men who were in many respects like what he used to be before he met the Lord. There were many of them out of Christ and living lives that were without God and without hope and going from pillar to post in many ways, seeking to make what they could of life and to seek out what would appeal in many ways, it seems, to their senses and would in some way bring contentment to their lives. Paul was a seasoned traveler as far as the sea was concerned, and he knew what he was talking about. And when you're going out on the water, it's good to pay heed to what people tell you if they're experienced on the water. And as we go through this message tonight, we see that the thinking of these men was so captivated with something else that they didn't pay any heed to what the apostle had to say. The words really that sum everything up regarding how they reacted to what Paul had to say and how things turned out for them are the words of our text in verse 13, where it says, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. There's a great deal of confidence in those words. They are more than words. We have here, ladies and gentlemen, a state of mind. Because it says here, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. As far as they are concerned, everything has come together now, and they're as good as being where they wanted to be. That's really what the verse is telling us. Supposing they had obtained their purpose, it's a state of mind. And I want tonight, for the remainder of the meeting, to look at you with you at a state of mind that led to calamity. A state of mind that led to calamity. I want to say concerning these men that human reasoning was obeyed. Human reasoning was obeyed. Now, here they were. They were at a place that was not very comfortable. It was boring. It seems to have been very wearisome for these men, those who were in charge of the ship. And as the days went by, in some ways you will understand that impatience crept in and a desire for something different. And it seems that that impatience led to frustration. And when that happened, there's always a danger that our decisions will be based upon cold reason alone. You need to think. God has given us a mind to think. But you don't base especially important decisions as a Christian upon cold reason alone. I want to say something about where they were right now. It was Fairhaven's. And for all of the boredom that there was there and the monotony that there would have been in the men's minds. And it seems when you read about Fairhaven's, even though the name sounds good, it's Fairhaven's, there's very little that is fair about it. But for all of that, it was a shelter for them. And the shelter they needed, because the Bible tells us there that in verse 9 that sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past. It was that time of the year when you were not to go out on the sea on the route that they wished to go out on. And then, with the frustration that obviously was in their minds, there was that thinking, well, if we can just get a little bit of light or a little bit of an inclination that everything somehow or other will work out okay, then we'll be off. And that's exactly what they did. You see, everything that they decided on this fateful occasion was based upon human reason alone. If they were to obey Paul, he had said there, don't sail, it's dangerous. And he admonished them, and the word meaning there that he strongly exhorted them. In his position, he did the very best he could to persuade them not to move from where they were. He was really saying to them, come foul weather or fair, you need to stay put for another while. But it says there also in verse 13 that the south wind blew softly. It's funny how deceitful weather can be. Many years ago, I had an MG Midget. That's quite a few years ago. And I still remember the date. It was the 10th of February. And I went to Tullymore Forest with the hood down on the 10th of February. It was a good February. But before that month was out, it was absolutely lashing it down. It was really, really cold. And it was more typical winter weather. I would have been a fool on that occasion to say, well, here it is today. Summer's arrived. All is good. I'll not even put the hood up in the car anymore. I'll just leave it down. That would have been foolishness. Well, it says here that when the south wind blew softly, if you look at the word of God, when the south wind in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, for instance, when the south wind blew, the south wind was associated with fine weather. And therefore, these men who were looking for, as we would say in this day and age, they were really chomping at the bit. They're just looking for some kind of a prompting to get them up and to get them going. And now they've got it. Because the south wind, it's blowing softly. And you can imagine these individuals hastily packing their bags and hardly taking time to think of what they were doing and just saying, let's get on with it now. I want to say they ignored two important things. They ignored the voice of God's man among them. That was the Apostle Paul. Paul was, as I said, a seasoned traveler, and someone put it this way, that he was well versed in shipwrecks. And whenever he was exhorting them to stay where they are, they should have paid heed to him and thought, well, whatever my reason tells me, and irrespective of a little glimpse of the south wind and the sun, the fact of the matter is that year after year has shown us that sailing is now dangerous, full stop. But they ignored all of that. But not only did they ignore the voice of God's man among them at that time, they ignored history's record. And I've read some church history, Josephus and others have details of it, that along that coastline, it was strewn with the wrecks of ships which had been lost. And many of them had been wrecked because they had gone out whenever they should not have been sailing. And that was a historical record. Something no doubt that many of them would have been familiar with. You see, there's no talking to them. The anchors were hoisted up. And away they went. And you might say tonight, what carelessness to base everything upon human reason alone. And that is true. But it's a very solemn thought tonight that men and women take a very similar view and a very similar line regarding the destiny of their soul. We give a title to the message tonight, A State of Mind That Led to Calamity. I suppose as much as anywhere else in the world, people in Northern Ireland have a state of mind. Sometimes it's very hard to change. And that state of mind so often is that which is detrimental to the welfare of their soul. Haven't you met individuals, and I'm sure some of them you know and you love, and they have weighed the issues up, and is it not right to say that their decision regarding what they do regarding their soul is always based solely upon human reason? There's two men talking one day, and they were in my presence in a particular place, and I happen to know one of them. And I'd known him from years ago when I wasn't saved, and one time I was speaking at some particular meeting in Dungannon, and I don't know what it was, whether it was an anniversary meeting or a harvest or what it was, but it was in the local paper anyway. And he saw it there, and he came along to Dungannon. And I was preaching the evening time in the gospel meeting, and I remember I saw him. And I remember at the door wondering what he would say. And when he came to the door, he spoke to me and I spoke to him, and he just sort of grinned in that, or should I say smirked, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but he just sort of smirked and went on out. And sometime later I was in a place where he was with another man, and the both of them were talking, and the man that had come to the meeting in Dungannon, he brought up the tent mission that was along the Armagh Portadown Road back about 20 years ago when the Reverend William McRae was preaching there and I was helping in Armagh. And I was there every night, and it was a great mission for God's people. There were people who were converted there. And he brought that up, and he said to that man, what do you think? And that man said, I don't go for that at all. He said, as long as you live and you walk straight down the line, you've nothing else to worry about. And I could see him watching me out of the side of the eye. He says, I agree with you. I don't agree with what's going on down there at all. I don't see any need for it. See, all of his weighing of things up was based upon human reason, because he didn't see any need for it. I'm nobody, and of course I'm happy to acknowledge that, but when he was in Dungannon, I was preaching, I was the one who was bringing the word. You should have listened. And the other man who knew about the mission down the Portadown Armagh Road, he knew what was being preached there, and perhaps there were people who invited him along. I don't know. But he should have listened. And whenever it comes to the word of God, I don't know what their knowledge is of the word of God, but just as Paul was the man there who was God's man in their midst, and they should have listened to him, they ignored him. The Bible shows us shipwrecks in order that we might learn. Men who had opportunity, and yet sometimes for, it seems, no reason at all, they let that opportunity slip by. When I preach about things like that, I always think of Luke 16. And we refer to it sometimes as the rich man in hell. And I always, when I preached on this a couple of times in my life, and I've emphasized that he wasn't there because he was rich, But he was there because he rejected the Lord. And when he was there, he was at great pains to get out of where he was for a little while. And of course, there was no coming back. Because the Bible shows us here in this passage, Luke 16, that there is a great gulf fixed. But then he looked away beyond himself, and he had a concern for those who were still here, who were in the very same place where he had been and were in danger of weighing things up the way he had done it. And the word to him was this, when he wanted to go and to warn them, they have Moses and the prophets, that is, they had that portion of the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they do not listen to the word, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Because their mind is set. And their state of mind is just like those in Acts chapter 27. It's a state of mind supposing they had obtained their purpose. In other words, this is all we need. We don't need anything else. Because if you take that passage home, Luke 20, or Acts chapter 27, you read it very carefully, you see that they ignored everything else apart from what human reason wanted. Sun came through the clouds for a while, and the wind was blowing in the right direction. They thought, well, here we go. This is what we're waiting for. And they're as good as there, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Over in the book of Acts again, and it's chapter 13, over in Acts chapter, Acts chapter 13, it says there, trying to find the verse that I'm after here. Might be helpful if I was in the right book. Acts chapter 13, yeah, that's it. It says, and there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now we know that when these two men went forward, they went forward to preach. They went forward to preach. And if you read on down, just let's skip a few verses there and go down. It says there in verse 17, which was the deputy of, no, well, verse 6, we'll say. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Been astonished at the doctrine or at the word of the Lord. The word astonished there in this occasion actually means shaken out of complacency. Whenever he realized what God can do. And men and women, up to this moment in time, all of your deciding and your whole state of mind regarding the destiny of your soul might be based upon human reason alone. Well, you need to look away to Christ, just as this deputy did. And you need to understand what he has done in shedding his blood for sinners. And you need to listen to God's word which tells us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And bearing those two things in mind, you need to flee to him, just as the deputy did. And I trust that even tonight you're shaken out of complacency. It's a curse of the Northern Ireland at the moment. Hardness and complacency. We trust that you'll be shaken out of that complacency tonight. What an awful strong influence feelings alone can be. Said here it was a state of mind that led to calamity. And they decided to go when the wind was blowing in the right direction and the sun was out. They ignored God's man among them. They ignored the shipwrecks of the past. And they did this because human reason was obeyed. But I want you to notice something else here. Not only was human reason obeyed, but there was that desire for something better. There was that desire for something better than where they were. And very quickly, these people, in a very sincere way, I suppose, they committed themselves to the situation before them. What did they commit themselves to? They committed themselves, really, to the mercy of the weather. And it looked good at the moment. And the wind was on their back. And it's always easier to sail when there's a nice soft wind on your back. And maybe you're committed to something. And everything's all right. I was at a funeral not very long ago up in the part of the country where I come from. I was just standing there outside the church. Afterwards, noticed quite a number of people that I've known practically all my life. And they're committed to going to church. And they're good people. And if you needed a neighbor, they'd be good ones to call upon. But that's all they have. That's all they have. Some of them there, when I looked around them, I can remember days when they were wild men. But they've changed a bit now, and they're committed to the activity of a religious association. But that's all. You need more than that, men and women. Not only were they committed, but these words, again, this state of mind shows us they had absolute confidence in what they were doing, supposing they had obtained their purpose. As I said, it seems when you look at these men, they wanted to get to Phoenicia. Their hearts were already there. It was just a matter of jumping aboard now, and things are going to change so much for us. Like so many people today, they would like something different, but they don't want to repent. They don't want to repent. They don't want to be told about sin in their life, about how they are sinners, undone before the Lord. How that sin will take them to a place where all of my preaching life will never deliver them from hell forever. But they do want something different. And here were people who, in their frustration and their impatience and their desire for somewhere that was better, they just jumped aboard. Committed to the wind. Confident in the wind. And I suppose you could say they were even getting a degree of comfort from the wind. The dear man at that funeral is telling you about, give me an order of service. Nice man he is too. But I happen to know from speaking to other people who know him a lot better, and he's as dark as night. Still going along with the south wind on his back. He's found something different from what he used to have when he was a young fella. And he's deriving a bit of comfort from it because it's different from going along to the pub every night. But he still hasn't found Christ. He still hasn't found Christ. And I wonder how many meetings you've sat in and there's been that thought in your heart, I would like something different. I would like something that I could have confidence in and commit myself to and find comfort in. And some preacher before now has told you, you'll find all of that in the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation if you come to him. But you're just like Felix and you've thought about it, but you've never come. The Bible says now is the accepted time. And during these past months, we've been reminded time and time again how important that text is to impress that upon your heart. Now is the accepted time. If you say, I want to talk to you next Sunday night, Mr. Salt, about this, well, all I can say is, in fairness, you know, if we're both here, we'll do that. Therefore, we exhort you to come tonight. They got a degree of comfort from it. They had great confidence in this wind and this and what they had done. They supposing they had obtained their purpose. But also they were hoping that this would continue. They were hoping that it would continue and would eventually bring them to their desired haven. Again, supposing they had obtained their purpose. I want to say one final thing about the state of mind that led to calamity. Their decision to sail was based on human reason alone. Good advice was ignored. History was ignored with the shipwrecks were there. They had that desire for somewhere better. And I want to say to you tonight, if that's in your heart, that's something. Ask God to show you now, to open your heart. And to help you to see. Remember Lydia in the Bible. She was a church woman. She said prayers, but the Lord had to open her heart that she would give attention to the things that were spoken by Paul. And that's what you need tonight if you're not saved. The Lord to come along and open your heart. I'm not saying that as a dictator. I'm just saying that's what he will do if you ask him to. He will open your heart tonight. Notice something finally here. Calamity came suddenly. Calamity came suddenly. They're on the waves now. But it says there in verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. With this tempestuous wind, this was an area that was known for very, very fierce storms. The little bit of south wind that was blowing didn't stand a chance. It was gone. And now, whenever the storm began to affect them, there's no doubt that they were thinking to themselves, at least some of them, maybe we should have listened to him. Maybe we should have taken a moment just to think about the shipwrecks before and just stayed where we were for another while. Because it wasn't a good time for sailing. But now they're in the grip of the storm. And the ship is engulfed and she's tossed about like a wee piece of driftwood. How different it is from the south wind blowing softly. When they supposed they had obtained their purpose and everything was good. And they were, in a very literal sense, on the crest of the wave. It's all changed now. The ship is driven to really a watery grave. She's broken up. And if you read this passage, you will see that all of their lives were spared on this occasion. I wonder, was Priscilla Jane Owens thinking of this when she wrote the words? We sung some of the verses earlier on tonight. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear when the breakers roar and the reef is near? And one of the verses we did sing together was about, will your anchor hold in the floods of death? I don't want to be morbid, but I have to be factual. This death is coming. Will your anchor hold in the floods of death? And the only anchor that you can have for your soul, men and women, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you have your way, and I've heard about man's way before and man's reasoning 1,000 times. In fact, the book of Proverbs tells us about man's human reasoning and his thoughts and his desire for something different. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's the end you need to think of. The end thereof are the ways of death. No doubt it was nice for a wee while, but it wasn't nice in the end when these things were sailing. The Bible tells us, men and women, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And as we come to a close and you weigh up the issues, remember everything surrounding this ship and all that happened to it and all of the danger that they put themselves in was because they supposed they had obtained their purpose. The Bible rightly tells us and warns us concerning the day when all men will stand before him, that there are those who stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this? You see, it's not what you have done. But on that day, you need to be able to say, I rested my faith upon what Christ has done. And I anchored my soul in him. And therefore, it is well with my soul. I wonder what your state of mind is tonight regarding eternity. This was a state of mind that led to calamity. And if your state of mind is not that you need Christ and you have Christ and you're relying on his work alone, then your state of mind will lead to calamity too. Proverbs 29:1, isn't it? He being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The day of no remedy is coming. But there's a remedy tonight. And I do trust that as you have listened, that God will speak to your heart. And that he will bring you right through for himself tonight. And that you will know tonight that you're safe in his grip for time and for eternity.